Dave, do you want to come up and I'll pray for you? Dave's going to come up and give us our message. I don't know about anyone else, but I didn't know that it wasn't spelt the way that Dave spelt it, so until it came up on the screen. Father God, we just pray for Dave this morning. We pray that your words will be spoken through him. That if even if he's planned something and he feels that you want to change it, Lord, that he goes with it. Because we know that your words can be a powerful tool that can change lives. So we pray for him this morning. Amen.
Good morning. Morning. Be a Barnabas. Let's have a look. Let's see what I've done. Drum roll. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Be a Barnabas. There you go. I've spelt it wrong. Oh, dear. Well, what I was thinking is actually perhaps it's part of a big plan so that every time over the next few weeks as you see something that's misspelled, you'll think, ah, yes, be a Barnabas, be an encourager. So I'm talking to you about encouraging. So when we thought of this sermon series, teaching series, we didn't want to give you just like a historical lecture on this guy Barnabas. No, you see, we want you to be like Barnabas. We want to encourage you to be an encourager. We want you to be encouragers who encourage others to be Holy Spirit-filled people who are following Jesus, who are disciples of Jesus. We want to encourage you to encourage others to keep going, to be disciples, to make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples of Jesus. And this morning we're going to look at three practices, three things that we can build into our lives to help encourage others to grow in their faith and their obedience to God, to grow as disciples of Jesus and to become more Christ-like. The key section from Acts that we're looking at says this on the next slide. When he, Barnabas, arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was amazed and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. A few years ago, I bought a keyboard. It's a Wurlitzer electric piano from 1974. It is beautiful. If you love vintage keyboards as much as I do, it is quite an instrument. To get it, I had to drive to this little village near Anglesey in North Wales. So it took me 6 hours to get there. Going up through England, really boring, really boring. But as you turn past Chester and you go along the coast road across North Wales, the scenery is absolutely stunning. It is amazing. You've got the North Sea, I guess, or the Irish Sea even, on your right, and you've got these mountains on your left. Which side of the country am I on? Where's Wales? I don't know. Somewhere's up there somewhere. It is amazing. The view along that road is absolutely breathtaking. I could hardly speak, which was good because I was alone. Barnabas, when he arrived in Antioch, was speechless. He was amazed, overawed. He couldn't express just the joy that he was feeling when he met these Gentile Greek Christians in Antioch. He couldn't help but give praise to God for what he found. So, why do we need encouragement? Well, in one sense, it's obvious, but let's think about it a bit more. In John 13, verse 33, Jesus says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You see, in many situations, we need to be encouraged, not just with nice words, not just like, Adrian, I think that jumper is very cool. Not just nice words, not to just say nice things. That might feel encouraging, but that's not what we're talking about, really. You see, Jesus realizes that in many situations we need to have courage. That's what the word encourage means, isn't it? To encourage is to give courage. Not just courage built on nice words, but through our words, through our actions, our prayers, to help those around us get their courage to keep going from God. To rely on the strength that comes from the Holy Spirit. You may know this, but one of the most commonly found phrases and ideas in the Bible is this: have courage. Do not be afraid. Don't fear. Because Jesus has overcome the world. Everything that is bad and evil and terrible, Jesus has overcome. We recently heard from Jason about the time when Peter got out of that boat and walked on water to Jesus. Peter needed Jesus' encouragement to be able to do it. He was encouraged to get out of the water because Jesus said he would be able to. Obviously, not in his own strength. Peter didn't have, like, inflatable shoes. That's not what it was. But he was saying, have courage because the Spirit of God is with you and you will be able to walk on water. So, we are encouraging people to be disciples, to carry on following Jesus, to become more and more Christ-like. So, encouragers give courage. Let's go on to Barnabas. In this passage in Acts, we hear about an exciting moment in the first 5 or 10 years of the church. The good news of Jesus had been shared with the Jewish people, as it said in the passage. But then Peter, the apostle, had a vision that the gospel, the good news of Jesus, was open to all who would listen. And it was a surprise to him. Some Greek speakers, as we heard, became followers of Jesus, and they went to the town of Antioch, and they were preaching about Jesus to the Greek speakers there, the Gentiles, as they were called. The disciples in Jerusalem, led by Peter, chose our friend Barnabas to go and investigate. Barnabas, it says, rejoiced, was overawed when he arrived and saw what God was doing, how the grace of God was being lived out and experienced by the people in Antioch. And he encouraged the believers to remain in the Lord with all their hearts. Remain. Barnabas encouraged and urged. It says that this word encouraged, it doesn't just mean like, oh yeah, nice. It's so much stronger than that. It means like pleads, begs them, carry on. Oh, please, you've got to carry on being a follower of Jesus. He urged them. Okay, so let's begin to think of some practical ways to be an encourager, to help people to remain in the Lord, to keep going with God. An encourager is like a gardener. I had a picture this week of encouragers being like gardeners. Now, I'm not a particularly good gardener, but I think all of us love it when we see a really beautiful garden. We know that a good gardener is somebody who looks after the growth of their plants. that the gardener's not responsible for the plant growing. The plant does that. But they are responsible for their part, for looking after what's going on in that garden, for encouraging and helping the plant to grow. And the encourager loves to help things flourish in others over weeks, over months, and over years. To encourage growth, to help the roots of other people's lives to go deep into the well of water that only God provides. Encouragers, therefore, should see the shoots of growth. Barnabas, when he arrived in Antioch, saw what God was doing. It gave him great joy to see God at work, restoring and renewing people, bringing them to himself, blessing those who had realized that they needed God. Sometimes these signs of growth, of God working, are really obvious and noticeable. And let's encourage those things where we see them and praise God for them, just as Barnabas did. But sometimes things are not so obvious. As we're going about our lives, let's see what God is doing. Ask him to show us, where is he working? What great godly qualities do you see in your friends, in your family members, in your work colleagues perhaps? It could be that someone showed great patience in a tricky situation at work. It is encouraging, and it encourages godly qualities when you say, I really liked how you reacted in that situation where you showed patience to that person who was, you know, really tricky to deal with. I can also tell you about so many moments in my life when people have encouraged me, perhaps with really small words, really small things that they've noticed that I've done, and said, I think you could be good at doing that. Some of these things have actually been life-changing, transformative. They might only have been a really small sentence, but actually those things have grown over the years. You, as an encourager, can speak these words of encouragement when you notice what God is doing in someone's life, when you see what qualities he is building and growing in somebody else's life. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to be showing us these kinds of things. Paul told us last week about how to listen to others, to hear what they're truly saying. I'd encourage you to go and listen to it, watch it on YouTube if you missed it. It was really good. Now, excuse me for mixing my senses, as it were, but what better way to see what God is doing in someone's life, or what better way to see what potential there is in someone's life than to listen to them? Ask the Holy Spirit to help us see with real insight what's truly going on in a situation. Why don't you, if you want to be an encourager, this week pray daily for an opportunity to encourage someone who needs encouragement to keep going, or encouragement to grow and build what is already beginning in them? And then, like Barnabas, when he arrived and saw what was happening, let's praise God when we see these shoots of growth. Encouragers praise God for the amazing things they see God doing around them. Here's a question for you. What can you see God doing or beginning to do? What's the potential for God to do in your community, in your friendship group, in your workplace? That something that's new. What are the beginnings of the new work of God in our area? Moving on, nurture that growth. Encouragers, like the garden, nurture the growth that they see. Barnabas encouraged the believers to remain living their lives in the Lord, fully devoted to Him, loving the Lord with their whole hearts, not just with their words, not just with their actions, but with all of them, every ounce of their being. This is what we, as encouragers, can encourage others to do for God. So how do encouragers nurture growth? I have four suggestions for encouragers. There are others. Firstly, encouragers make themselves available to others through their time, through their attention, through their love. They make themselves available, as we heard, through listening, through seeing what God wants them to do, asking the Holy Spirit to guide them. One of the things that's really noticeable when you read the Gospels about the life of Jesus is just how interruptible he was. He was on so many journeys, places that he had to be, and yet he allowed himself to be interrupted by somebody on that journey. How encouraging is it to you when somebody allows themselves to put away their plans that they already had and to focus on you, to focus on me? It is so encouraging. It brings us so much value and worth. It really shows something of God's love for his people when we do that. Barnabas was chosen for the mission to Antioch because he was known to be somebody who made himself available. He was chosen because he was known to be someone who said yes to things. If someone asks you, "Can you come with me to do this thing?" Is our first reaction to hold on to our time, our convenience, as it were, our comfort? Do we hold those kind of things, our priorities, close to our chests? Or do we say, "Yes, let's do it. Come on, let's do it." I, as a bit of a side note, I think some of us are natural yes people, and some of us are natural no people, or I'm not really sure kind of people. Us who are naturally no people, perhaps we need encouragement ourselves to react with a yes when we're given opportunities to do something for God. My friend Paul and I have a recurring joke. Well, Paul Goff, a different Paul, but last week Paul Goff mentioned Americans, so I'm going to give a different suggestion about Americans. One thing that we make as a joke is that Americans are naturally yes people. You give them a task and often they seem to say, "Yes, we're going to do it. It's great. We're going to work together." And us Brits are often, "Ooh, I don't know about that. I don't really like that idea." Quite often, our culture seems to make us into no people. I don't know if that resonates with you. But I want to be a yes person who says yes to what God is doing. My first reaction to be yes, let's do it. My convenience, my priorities are less important. Moving on, encouragers practice generosity and good stewardship. Now, as we've heard a few weeks ago, Barnabas was mentioned in Acts 4. when he sold a field and gave the money that was raised to support the church's vision so that no one was going to go without food and had their basic needs met. We can encourage others in our generosity. In selling this field, Barnabas was also putting into practice good stewardship. At some point, he had got this land, he'd inherited it perhaps, or he'd bought it. And then at just the right time, he had kept this field and was able to sell it to meet the needs of others. So encouragers understand that because of God's generosity to us, each one of us has something to give. From a field to a hug, to a spirit-inspired word from the Bible. Encouragers show generosity and good stewardship with what they've been given. Encouragers extend friendship. Encouragers extend friendship to those who are on the edges, on the fringes of a group. How encouraging is it when we're invited into the inner circle of something? How can we, as encouragers, look to invite and include others? You see, to go back to the context of this passage, the Greek speakers were on the outside. God spoke to Peter and the Jewish Christians and said, no, this is for everyone. I need you to include them. They must be given the opportunity to follow Jesus, to learn about Jesus as well. So encouragers look out for those who are on the edge, who are being marginalized, who society rejects. And doing so gives them real worth. So we too can extend friendship, genuine friendship. So many people come to faith in Jesus through a genuine friendship. And so many of us have our faith strengthened and built up, nurtured, kept going in those difficult times through friendship. And this is what Barnabas did when he went to see the new Christians in Antioch, and he spent a long time with them. Finally, for this bit, encouragers use the Bible. Nothing encourages us like promises from God's word. Why not make a list of scriptures, of Bible verses that you find encouraging, that help you to keep going when things are tough? You could do it on paper, the old-fashioned way, or on a note in your phone. And you can go back to it when you need encouragement or when you need to give encouragement. Through these kind of ideas, encouragers show value and worth to others, just as Jesus did. Encourage when you see good in others. Finally, grow our own character. Grow our own character. So as encouragers, we should work on ourselves, making sure that we partner with the Holy Spirit to continue to renew ourselves, to be formed and shaped to be more like our Jesus. Let's go back to Acts where we started. Barnabas, it says, was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith. It says that he was a good, a godly, a righteous person. When the Bible says that someone is good, it means that it's saying that their heart is dedicated to following God, which leads to their actions, to everything about them being good. But of course, it doesn't mean that they're perfect. Don't think that you're excluded from being like this just because you're not perfect. It's not saying when he was good that he was perfect. We, all of us, can be used by God, but we want to lead good lives. We want to make sure that our hearts are following God first. It says he was full of faith, full of faith. He courageously believed in the gospel. He was prepared to walk 200 miles from Jerusalem to Antioch in Syria just to build others up, just to see what God was doing. He was the kind of person who felt when it was right to sell a whole field of land and give the money to the church. And he had the kind of faith to listen and to do just that. And very importantly, it says he was full of the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in Ephesians 5, verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. By him saying we need to be filled with the Spirit, it suggests also that it's possible to not be filled with the Spirit. So, my friends, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask, and you shall receive. In Romans 8:11, it says, this same Spirit, this same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. This incredible Holy Spirit that brought Jesus back from the dead is living in you. So be filled with the Holy Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. And the final bit of this verse, what was the result of this man who encouraged the believers in Antioch? Well, it's what our mission is. It says a great number of people were brought to the Lord. A great number of people were brought to the Lord. That's the mission. That's the goal. That's the aim. We have to realize that we are called by God to be on a mission to the world we inhabit, our community, our town, our homes, and our workplaces. And we are there encouraging people to keep going with God or to find God. We are spreading the message about Jesus, and we are encouraging people with our own lives to discover Jesus for themselves. Let's pray. Generous Father God, help us to see the shoots of growth that you are bringing into being around us. Help us to see the shoots of growth wherever we are over the next week. Help us to be encouragers who nurture that growth, who see good in others and help people to draw closer to you, to become more like Christ, and help us to grow our own character to be more like Jesus. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We cannot do this without you. And we pray all of this in the name of our risen Lord Jesus. Amen.